Can anyone ever be too perfect? Can anyone be too good? Actually, not that long ago in Minnesota, there was a women's basketball team who, in the league, all the other teams got together and made a petition to no longer play with this team. Why? Because they were too good. Nobody wanted to lose. They were sick of being stomped by this other team. So they actually said, no, I'm sorry, we're not going to play with you anymore. Can anyone ever be too good? Can God be too good? And I raise this question because of this idea of God being approachable, right? We aren't to pray to God. Can we really pray to Him? Is He somebody we can approach with everything and anything? Because there are those certain people that you do and can approach about your troubles. And you know what that is like. You've had that mutual feeling. Is God that way? Or is He too good that He seems at arm's length? You did hear back in Ash Wednesday when Pastor Furch was preaching about how great Jesus is. The opening verses of the book of Hebrews remind us that He is God of all. All creation has come through Him. He is over all, supreme over all, better than the angels, better than the Old Testament priests. He's better than everything. That's the purpose of the book of Hebrews, to explain this to people. But is He too good to approach with everything? Well, to give you a little bit into it, He is absolutely perfect. We can't take that away. But that's exactly what we need. We need Jesus to be that perfect. And the author of the Hebrews brings us this light. I'm going to read from Hebrews 5, verses 7 through 9 to tell you about this. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, He offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save Him from death. And He was heard because of His reverent submission. Son though He was, He learned obedience from what He suffered. And once made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey Him. Right away it jumps into Jesus' perfection and how He prayed perfectly. And it points us to His prayer that He made perfect in the garden when He suffered there, praying that we just read about in our Passion history. But there is something in there, that first phrase in verse 9, it says, and once made perfect, like, was He imperfect before? Was this some sort of process that Jesus had to go through in order to become perfect? Like, did He start out as one of us, a sinful human being, and then slowly worked His way up? Well, this is what the author of the Hebrews is trying to say, and we've got to track back to the beginning of verse 7, when he says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth. Okay, so literally it says, during the days of Jesus in the flesh. During the days of Jesus in the flesh. And he's pointing us to when Jesus actually became a human being. So Son of God though He was, he said, He is the perfect Son of God, but He came down here and became fully one of us. And one of those moments that it was shown so dramatically was in the garden when He prayed. When you saw Jesus down on His hands and knees, I mean, the creator of the one who made that earth is now hugging the earth because, not because He's so joyful about it, but because He is in pain. The sweat that dropped off of His human forehead, and the tears that rolled down His human cheek from His human eyes, and the cries that came out from His human mouth, Thy will be done. And it's easy to think God's will be done, but it's harder to pray God's will be done. And actually honestly pray, Thy will be done, Lord. And that's what Jesus did. And what was that will of God? That He held this cup of suffering in His hand and He's ready to drink it. You know what it's like to see guilt on somebody's face, whether it was in a TV show, in the courtroom, when the judge came down and that look on the guilty's face dropped. You've seen it in children when they're caught, not when they do something, but when they're caught doing something. In kids, in students, you've seen it in your spouses, you've seen it in yourselves. When you know what you've done, you know what you've said, and you know what you've thought, and your heart turns, and so does your stomach, because you know what guilt is like. And that's what Jesus had in the garden. That was your guilt. The things that you suffered, the things that keep you up, that was what Jesus was carrying on his heart as he was weighing the will of God. Your guilt came upon him. Not just yours, but it was the guilt of everybody's. It was not just a couple of your sins, it was all of your sins. It wasn't just the sins of Judas or the sins of Peter or the sins of the high priest and the sins of everyone else. It was everybody's sins of all time on top of him as he carried that burden, and he knew what God's will was and what needed to be done. So he not only prayed it, but he did it. And he did it for you. If there is anybody you can approach, it is Jesus, because Jesus knows exactly what it's like. Jesus knows exactly what's on your heart. Jesus knows exactly what it feels like. Of course you can bring him everything. And you know for a fact that he will take your sins away, because that's what he did. Getting back to made perfect. That verb that is used there in the Greek is the exact same, comes from the exact same word that he spoke from the cross. It is finished. So that being made perfect is your salvation. That it is done. It is completed. It is all paid for. There's one thing that us preachers can be accused of. It is poking and prodding you to do more, right? Getting you to volunteer more. Getting you to work more. Getting you to do this. Getting you to obey this. And it's biblical. It's things that we are called to do by God's word. But this is the one thing I want you to take away this Lent, as we watch Jesus, our high priest, is not that you have to do something, but that he has done it for you. And he gives to you not a partial product that somehow you have to complete and fix up. He doesn't turn you on so you can go the rest of the way. He completes you. He makes you perfect. He washes you by his blood, and he presents you to his Father so that you can say, Jesus Christ is my everything. And you can come to him in anything. Amen.